You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it, your Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys along with us here today. Appreciate you electing to hang out with me here on Locked On Vols and making that your first listen each and every day. Got Twitter Tuesday on a Thursday, got Ward Wednesday on a Thursday. And then, like I said, we're going to discuss where Tennessee finished in the top or in the final AP and college football pro in the final AP and coaches college football rankings. All that and more coming up here today, and appreciate you guys for watching and subscribing to the channel on YouTube. All right, Twitter Tuesday. Let's get into it with Brock first. Thoughts on what the linebacker rotation will look like in the future next year? I'd expect it to be a rotation between Beasley, Peely, and Herring. But beyond that, do you expect them to keep bringing in transfer guys, or do they hand the reins over to those young guys and their sophomores? I like that question. Right now, I'm with you. I think it'll be Beasley. I think it'll be Keenan Peely, and I think it'll be Elijah Herring. I think the hope would be that maybe a Caleb Perry and or one of those young freshmen as well could step up and kind of give them something. Don't forget as well, Pat Garland is coming back, and I think he would have been a part of that rotation a little bit this year if he didn't get hurt in week number one. But I don't think they're bringing in another linebacker via the transfer portal, relying heavily on those veterans, Beasley and Peely, and they really like those young guys, and I really like those young guys too, but just because you like them doesn't mean that they're ready to come in and contribute right away. But Elijah Herring and maybe Caleb Perry, Elijah Herring for sure, maybe Caleb Perry can kind of give you relief in that regard next year as well. Let's go to Chuck. What happens when a player enters the portal? When do they forfeit their scholarship benefits? I kind of answered this, I want to say last week. You enter the portal, and a lot of times if you enter midseason, which is rare, but if you do, I mean, they'll kind of honor that scholarship throughout the rest of the way. But if you enter the transfer portal, say in December, I mean, the semester's over, you know, already you got to take finals and then it's done. If you enter the transfer portal and you stay at the school and then you decide to go somewhere in the summer, I would have to imagine that you're paying for that semester on your own dime, because if you're in the transfer portal and not returning to that program is not going to pay for your school. So, I mean, I'm sure it kind of varies in those type of situations, but typically when you see players go into the portal, you know, the semester's almost done. You just got to take finals, or maybe you have another week of classes or whatever. So that's how I would kind of answer that one. We're going to move over here to @_Caner's DMs now. We're over there at Locked On Vols. We will go to Willie the Kid. Do you think Dylan Sampson has a bigger role next year? Also, was just curious what it was like to play against VFL Devin Young in high school. Yeah, fastest guy I ever played against. Obviously, you know, tackle football, high school football in East Tennessee has gotten so much better, you know, since I was in high school. Yeah, you sure, you had the Marables and the Alcoas, and they were really, really good. But, I mean, you know, the West and Oak Ridges and, you know, just a lot of other teams from around this area who continue to get better and better and better. It's gotten better since I played. But Devin Young was a really good talent, obviously a Division I talent. He was super, super fast. I mean, I remember one year I tackled him quite a few times. Then the senior year when I played him, I think I touched him like three times. He was that quick. Needless to say, those games didn't go well for my team. But, he was really good, really fast, elusive, good vision. But I don't think he had to play too hard against our team, to be completely honest with you. Let's move on now to Corey. Corey says, does Tennessee go after a defensive back in the summer, or do you think we're set in stone on what we have? Also, if we do land Thornton, which Tennessee did, this is from a couple days ago, do we rotate or stick with Thornton, White, and Brood? Does Ramel Keaton get playing time? Yeah, again, I kind of talked about this. I think Dante Thornton is another slot, or a guy that can play slot. I think him and Squirrel White are the only two slot guys on this team right now, on this roster. They might move somebody or get somebody else work in the slot, but if something happens to Squirrel, I think Dante Thornton would slide down, play the slot, and then, of course, you have Ramel Keaton for the outside. This is a good problem to have if you're Tennessee. And, of course, Dante Thornton's going to come in here and earn this as well. So, I mean, it's Ramel Keaton's job right now until Dante Thornton can kind of take it away from him. So I think that they're done at receiver. Potentially they could add another one, but I think that they're done at receiver. And I just think we got to see how it all plays out. Also, into the question, does Tennessee have a shot with Cam Pringle? A shot? Yes. Enough time? I doubt it. Cam Pringle's put an announcement date out there for the end of this month. I don't know if Tennessee's going to get that one, to be completely honest with you, but a shot, 100%. We'll keep on going now. We'll go to Trevor. Joe Milton in the last two games of this season looked 10 times better than the start of the 21 season games. With his progression, our leading rushers back, and leading receiver, how confident, or reloading a receiver, how confident should we be in the offense next year? And will the change in play color have any difference? I'm not going to sit here and act like Alex Golish, the loss of him is super devastating. Because again, this is Josh Heupel's offense, and Josh Heupel's your head coach, and he promoted from within in terms of offensive coordinator. But I'm not going to sit here and act like it's nothing. I mean, Alex Golish is a good coach. He was. And I think he and Josh Heupel worked really, really well together, hand in hand, calling the plays and setting the offensive scheme, you know, from Sundays over to Fridays. And Joe looked good. I'd like to see him play consistent. I mean, he was okay against Vanderbilt. I'm not going to sit here and say he was great against Vanderbilt. He was okay. He still missed some shots against Vanderbilt. But again, that was a game where Tennessee was, you know, leading when they were, you know, hitting the interstate from Knoxville to go to Nashville, right? He was fantastic in the Orange Bowl. He was. So, I mean, if you get Joe that plays anywhere close to where he played against Clemson in the Orange Bowl, I like what Tennessee will have at receiver. I just have faith in that. I like Tennessee in the backfield because it's the same guys as of right now. Tennessee's offensive line, it's going to need to gel together. You'll have two brand new starters up there, and that is not nothing. I think Tennessee's, you should be confident in Tennessee's offense because Josh Heupel's proven it everywhere he's gone in the last 2 years, that as long as you have a quarterback that's not giving you horrendous play, you know, Tennessee's offense will be in the top 10. So that's kind of how I would answer that one. And we'll go to Chris to wrap things up here in the DMs. Actually, we're not going to do this one, but I will say Chris is the one that wanted to know about my bobbleheads. I would love to do that. Haven't heard anybody else that has had any interest in the bobbleheads behind me. But if you guys want to know about the bobbleheads behind me and my memorabilia, you just let me know. I would love to do that because it would be fun for me. Let's go to the bookmarks. Let's see here. Vols in Bama 256. Have there been any news on if they would host an orange and white game this year? That's a memory I have when I was a kid and hope to take my kids back to Knoxville. Well, I'm not sure about this spring. Of course, last year the construction did not allow that. I think, again, this is not a report. This is not for fact. I think that there could be an orange and white game this year because I think the construction is going to be mainly underneath the stadium and not really on the playing surface. So don't quote me on that. But of course, what happened last year was just, you know, what they could do because, you know, there was construction going on. What else can you do? Let's go to Rob. With Mitchell entering the transfer portal, what does that linebacker rotation look like? Seemed like Coach Brian John Murray liked a four-man rotation. Is it pretty much Beasley and Peely starting with Herring and Perry rounding things out? Yeah, I kind of talked on that a couple moments ago. I think that's right now. I think that's kind of where it would be. At least the three of them, Herring will play, Peely and the Beasley. You really hope that an Arian Carter or a Jeremiah Thielander or a Jalen Smith kind of step up and kind of earn some of those snaps and maybe a role like Elijah Herring had this year. But I think that's a pretty small rotation right now. This past year, it was a three-man rotation, but to your point, and as I've said many, many times, you still had Solon Page that took up anywhere from 10 to 20 snaps a game. So that's not a lot, but that's not nothing. So that's kind of where you get that fourth one in there. Last one goes to Kurt. A lot of people are doing these way too early top 25 lists. In the spirit of that, what way too early prediction would you have on the Tennessee schedule next year to be on the 3:30 Eastern Time national TV game on CBS? Well, I don't have a schedule in front of me, but you know Tennessee will play on CBS at least once or twice next year because they will be a train wreck. Also, the viewership is incredible with Tennessee. Also, the offense is exciting. It's a good television product. So you know Tennessee will be on there at least a couple of times. Off the top of my head, I would have to venture to say Georgia, Alabama would be great candidates. Tennessee, Florida would be great candidates. You know, the big three, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, I think would be really marquee matchups for Tennessee. Maybe that Georgia game towards the end of the season, especially if, you know, Tennessee's really, really good. And of course, Georgia losing a lot, but Georgia, you know, stack and reload like this year. That game I could see, you know, being on the CBS telecast for sure. All right, when we come back, we'll check in with Josh Ward, for Little Ward Wednesday on a Thursday. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. I want to let you guys know about our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting information, news, stats, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college football, bowl season that just wrapped up, to NBA, to college basketball. The heart of the SEC schedule is here for Tennessee. The World Cup a couple of months ago, NFL playoffs, they've got it all. That is at Bet Online. If you love sports podcasts like Locked On Vols, you can find those at Bet Online as well after you listen to this show. Got the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports betting information, from totals to overs to unders to spreads to first half props, all that good stuff that's at Bet Online. You can check out the website today or use your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. Bet Online, it is where the game starts. All right, so today's show is a little unorthodox. We did the mailbag portion that we usually do on Tuesday in segment one. Right now, we're going to talk to Josh Ward. We have him on for Wednesday, Ward Wednesday, but it is a Thursday. We welcome Josh Ward on. Appreciate him being flexible. Josh, a lot to talk about right now, but I do want to start here. That national championship game was not entertaining. What did you think of the final? I know, you know, Tennessee fans and people like us have reasons to look for content to be angry or whatever, but what did you think about that last AP poll with Tennessee coming in sixth?
Well, Tennessee came in exactly where I expected. Doesn't mean it's right. There is no right answer, in my opinion. We can go back and forth on where Tennessee should be. Obviously, Tennessee has the head-to-head win against Alabama, which we've debated at this point for several weeks. So I didn't expect anything to change based on the bowl results. I don't know why other voters would have said, okay, Tennessee against Clemson, Alabama against Kansas State. Now my opinions are changed based on both teams having decisive victories in their big bowl games. Reese Davis putting TCU sixth gave me a chuckle, considering they were in the national title game. And Swain and I did our final top five for the season. And I said, you know what? I'm going to punish TCU for that performance. And a poll, by the way, in my opinion, is it's an opinion. So it is largely based on results, but a number of factors in those results. And I don't think any other team in the top five consideration was capable of losing the way TCU did. So as punishment, I'm sure that's what they were really worried about. I docked TCU. So I thought Tennessee was a top five team. The floor was probably lower for Tennessee than others, that being the South Carolina game. I thought at the time when the polls were updated in the final couple of weeks and Alabama was ahead of Tennessee, I thought it was obvious why Alabama was ahead of Tennessee, and that was the South Carolina result, that they looked at what Tennessee did and said, well, Bama can't lose that way. And then I looked at TCU and said, well, Tennessee can't lose that way to Georgia, not 65-7. So the floor for Tennessee was lower, but the ceiling was about as high as any other team in the country besides Georgia. Georgia was the best team in the country, and that was proven true by the end.
I just think it's hilarious that 10 voters elected to put Penn State or Washington ahead of Tennessee. And because of those 10 voters, Tennessee, you know, came in 9 points behind Alabama for six. So the conversation of should Tennessee be ranked ahead of Alabama, right, wrong, indifferent, that's one thing. But the fact of the matter is 10 AP voters voted for either Penn State or Washington ahead of Tennessee. And because of those 10 people, mm-hmm. Tennessee finished 9 points behind Alabama in sixth place. So I just...
Yeah, the polls are they're great for our business because they create interest and conversation and debate and differing opinions. So it is great for our business. It means nothing for college football other than it is a big part of history. Has nothing to do with the championship. Will have nothing to do with the playoff moving forward. It simply is about debate. So I'm thankful for it, and I want the polls to remain, but they mean nothing.
That is true. Josh Ward, he's at Josh_Ward on Twitter, co-host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal, noon to 3 every single weekday. Tennessee football had a pretty good Monday in the transfer portal. Not one, not two, but three players from the transfer portal. Wide receiver Dante Thornton, defensive lineman Omar Norman Lott, and offensive tackle John Campbell. What do you like about Tennessee's haul on Monday, and maybe overall now seven additions from the transfer portal?
Well, because of the number of additions now, Tennessee has done a good job addressing needs, adding now a couple of offensive linemen to help replace a couple of key contributors, Darnell Wright and Jerome Carvin, who are leaving. So versatility in Park, the transfer from Texas, and now Campbell, who has played a good amount for Miami as an older player, to come in and help at tackle with Darnell Wright leaving. So I like that. I just have an assumption that Dante Thornton's going to be able to hit big plays in Tennessee's offense because of what the offense is and what his skill set is. So it seems like a natural fit. I don't know how prolific he will be, but he's going to hit some big plays. You know, I think at worst you're going to see a Javonte Payton impact from a couple of seasons ago in Tennessee's offense. And then defensive line depth, and I think Omar Norman Lott is a quality player. So depth and ability up front, you just have to have it in the SEC. But kind of the way I look at it, Eric, is those players had good options. They could have gone somewhere else, and you know, the other schools that they were considering were good places. So Tennessee's battling quality programs to get guys that can come in and help. But also just look at Tennessee's board that they kind of put together that you can imagine behind the scenes. And they said, we maybe need to get somebody like Omar Norman Lott. We need to get another wide receiver to come in and provide depth with our transfers and somebody that can be a big play threat because Jalin Hyatt is leaving. And the guys that they targeted, a lot of them said yes to Tennessee and said no to other schools like Campbell saying no to Florida. So instead of having to go up against him, you have him. I don't know that he's going to change the trajectory in a huge way with Tennessee's offense, but the Tennessee staff valued those players, and they've had a good hit rate this season, this offseason so far with the transfer portal.
And getting Dante Thornton, is Ramel Keaton the biggest loser right here? Because, I mean, I don't think Tennessee's all of a sudden going to play more than three wide receivers on routine. Dante Thornton says he can play slot and outside, but he screams outside wide receiver to me. For a guy that's you know, did everything that was asked and more and really performed well this year, Ramel Keaton, and in place of Cedric Tillman. Is he the biggest loser in this? Because I think he is.
Well, Keaton was my first thought because Brew McCoy's not coming off the field, is he?
No, he's not.
And Squirrel White just looks like a natural fit, and he had a nice start in that slot position heading into 2023 with the way he performed in the bowl game. So, yeah, I think this is Ramel Keaton being pushed by a newcomer and Thornton coming in. Now, Tennessee's better for that because that creates more competition. And Keaton's still going to factor in, but he is going to have to work this offseason to hold off a talented guy coming in who can be that deep threat. He is a big target at wide receiver at 6'5". So, yeah, the guy that stands to lose the most opportunity here on the field would be Ramel Keaton.
Let's face it, Dante Thornton he's taller, he's longer, he's faster. You know, from a personnel upgrade, he is just that. But you got to get into this offense, you got to go make plays, and Ramel Keaton has done that. So
yeah, Thornton has to prove it. He has to earn coaches' trust. That's something you have to have. And I think the way Keaton performed, the way he stepped up this season when Tillman went out immediately, a lot of fans remember what Keaton did in the Florida game, especially just before half. That matters. So coaches trust Ramel Keaton. Thornton is going to have to earn that. But if he does, he's going to be on the field.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. This is great for Tennessee. This is a good problem to have for sure. Hey, last thing, let's talk a little hoops. Tennessee now 14-2, 4-0 in SEC play. Tennessee did not play fantastic against Vanderbilt, but played good enough. Got the job done. Julian Phillips and Santiago Vescovi nearly had identical stat lines of 15 points off 6-9 shooting. They had 6 rebounds and 3 assists, I believe, or whatever the case was. They look good. There's a good sign for Julian Phillips, who scored in double figures just for the second time in the last 7 games. What do you think of Tennessee basketball right here? And John Calipari said that Tennessee is, or not John Calipari, that's who Tennessee plays next. Jerry Stackhouse said that Tennessee is the best team in the SEC. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think it's Tennessee and Alabama for that title at the top. Arkansas is a team that we'll watch as the season goes along. Kentucky is not a challenger in that conversation right now, not even close. Auburn will be a tough out. But, yeah, I think Tennessee and Alabama have been the best team so far in the SEC. Tennessee will have Alabama at home in SEC play. That's going to help. But somebody like Julian Phillips is an example of why Tennessee has a chance to be the SEC champion at the end of the year. We've seen different players step up at different times. We came out of the weekend talking about what Olivier Kamwa did, how he hadn't missed a shot in the 2 games to begin 2023, how Jonas Adu has stepped up. And the conversation had shifted away from Julian Phillips, who was getting a lot of attention earlier in the year. Remember what he did against USC in the battle for Atlantis. But a reminder from Phillips that, hey, you know, I still have a ton of ability. He was active, made a difference when Vanderbilt was pushing Tennessee in the middle of the game. So that, Josiah Jordan James, if he can stay healthy, he's a difference-making player who was unavailable during a lot of the great run that Tennessee's been on. So Tennessee is deep. Tennessee is talented. Tennessee has played a lot of basketball together with these guys that have come back and will have home court advantage against Alabama. So I think those are the two best teams, but I would rank Tennessee number one in the conference right now.
Josh Ward, 99.1 The Sports Animal. What's coming up today and the rest of the week on Josh and Swain?
Yeah, so plenty of football talk with the offseason, but a lot of basketball talk over the next couple of days because it's going to be an awesome weekend. Tennessee-Kentucky is always a big deal. If they're locked in, Tennessee's going to have a chance to run Kentucky out of the gym as their opponents have done this season. But it's also Chris Lofton weekend coming up. So a lot of talk about Chris Lofton with his number five going up into the rafters. Some former teammates joining us on Josh and Swain. So listen live or go back and listen. I think you'll enjoy that conversation.
Hey, Josh, remember those months that you continued to get the shipments of Built Bars and you never told me about it?
I have no idea what you're talking about on the record.
Okay, yeah, on the record. Yeah, well, what if I told you now that Built Bars, you can buy them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. Would that interest you?
Yes, I have seen them in the local stores. Built Bar building out the opportunity for people to enjoy them.
Look at you go. Look at you go. Josh does not have to hoard all my Built Bars anymore when I took over the show. I get them. I've been getting them the last year or so, but now I can also go to Sam's Club or Walmart, just like you, and buy any type of Built Bar that I want. They are truly building out their repertoire, as Josh Ward would say. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want to have all those fat and calories, then you've got to try Built Bar. They are fantastic. It is 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. It is good for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, a whopping 17 grams of protein, unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. Cookies and cream, double chocolate, coconut puffs, the brownie batter, the churro, all that and more now at Walmart and your local Sam's Club. And as always, you can still go online and build and shop at Built.com. Built.com, go check it out today. It is the perfect thing for that New Year's resolution. All that and more at Built.com. Good stuff there from Josh Ward, as always, as we wrap up our Thursday edition of the show. Good talk with Josh and, of course, answering your questions for the Twitter Tuesday mailbag portion here in segment number one. All right, I have been teasing a little bit this week, and I touch on it a little bit next week in some of those episodes when I'm going to be gone. But, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, Tennessee finishes at number six in both the AP and the coaches' final polls. Now, again, Tennessee was not a college football playoff team. Tennessee did not play in the SEC championship. Tennessee had an ugly, ugly loss at the end of the year to South Carolina that was lasting. I get all that. But Tennessee finished 11-2. Tennessee finished 10-2 in the regular season. Tennessee beat the team that is directly in front of them in both polls. So for that reason in itself, it makes kind of no sense to me. It's just the Alabama effect that, you know, gets lost in everyone's memory. The AP and the coaches poll are the exact same 1-9. You've got Georgia at 1, TCU at number 2, and I'll get into that in a moment. Michigan at 3, Ohio State is at 4. Alabama is at number 5, Tennessee is at 6, Penn State is at 7, Washington is at 8, and Tulane is at 9. In the USA Today coaches poll, the 10th team in the land is Florida State, and in the AP poll, the 10th team in the land is Utah. So, again, my question is, number one, why on earth is Tennessee 6th and Alabama 5th? Again, there's arguments to be had there, okay? Tennessee had the same regular season record as Alabama. Tennessee beat Alabama. 2 + 2 = 4. It is not that hard, stupid, okay? So that in itself is the argument, okay? Tennessee finished 9 points behind Alabama. Tennessee finished 9 points behind Alabama, at least in the Associated Press poll. Alabama had 1,303 total points. Tennessee had 1,294 points. I tweeted this out. I referenced this on one of the episodes next week. Again, guys, I'm working ahead here trying to get you guys some shows for next week when I'm out of the town. There are 10 individuals, when you break it down, vote by vote, who all had votes for the AP poll. There are 10 individuals that voted Tennessee either 7th or 8th in the Associated Press. There are 10 individuals who voted either Penn State or Washington ahead of Tennessee in the final AP poll? I tweeted this out. And again, I turned off my replies. I got tired of hearing about Penn State fans jumping in there. It just says what it is. And I know that's a no-no. You tweet something, own it. And I'm owning it. I mean, I didn't delete or anything. I just got sick of it because I was working and my phone was buzzing all freaking day. But I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, you're an AP voter. It's a response of freaking ability. It is a responsibility. Okay? What on earth are you doing in your understanding where you think Penn State deserves to be ranked ahead of Tennessee at the end of the season? How on earth can you compute Washington deserving to be ranked ahead of Tennessee in the final AP poll? Again, I'm going to tie all this in a moment. I'm not talking about Tennessee, Alabama. I'm talking about Penn State. I'm talking about Washington. Because of those 10 individuals that either voted Penn State or Washington ahead of Tennessee in the final AP poll, Tennessee did not leapfrog Alabama. If those 10 people would have voted like any smart football consumer, you know, would, Tennessee, it wouldn't matter that, you know, the Alabama effect on that. Tennessee would have placed 1 point ahead of Alabama in the AP poll. But since those 10 irresponsible voters, in my opinion, neglected to take this seriously, in my opinion, you know, Tennessee finishes behind Alabama. So it's just, I mean, it's annoying to me. Like, and don't get me wrong, I say this again, I'm good on this side of the microphone. I don't have a vote. It's a lot of responsibility, but I cover a football team. All right. You've heard me say this. I'm sure you've heard other people say this before. I cover a football team. Therefore, I miss a lot of football on Saturdays. I watch as much as I can because I love college football. But I'm at the stadium a lot on Saturdays. I am working a lot on Saturdays. Therefore, it would be irresponsible for me if I had an Associated Press vote to cast my vote because I don't watch enough. There are some people that are just irresponsible. And again, I've been on this tangent before, and I'm sorry. It really frustrates me. So that in itself is just a little ridiculous. Now, for the coaches poll, again, it was the same 1-9, Georgia, TCU, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, Penn State, Washington, Tulane. And then it was Utah for the Associated Press. And the coaches poll, it was Florida State. And you have coaches who have voted on this. I mean, each coach or each coach's SID or whatever. And I saw somebody tweet out, I think it was, I'm blanking on his name. Brett McMurphy, there you go. He tweeted out Kirby's top five, and then he tweeted out Saban's top five. Nick Saban voted his Alabama team number two. Why on earth would Alabama be the number two team in the nation? It lost two games. Yes, I understand it lost two games on the last play of each game. I get all that. But why on earth would Alabama be finishing number two in any poll with Tennessee finishing fifth or sixth behind him and Tennessee beat Alabama and they have the same amount of losses? Are you drunk, Nick Saban? What are you doing? Like, seriously, like make it make sense. You did not play for a conference championship game. You have the same amount of losses to the team that finished right behind you and that team beat you. Like, what on earth are you are you drunk? Like what is going on here? Brett McMurphy, I'm going to go find it right now. Brett McMurphy, okay, of the stadium, he tweeted out Nick Saban's final ballot, number one Georgia, number two Alabama, number three TCU, number four Michigan, number five Ohio State, number six Tennessee. So sliding down the top four in the college football playoffs and putting Alabama there at number two. Kirby Smart's ballot, Georgia, TCU, Michigan, Ohio State, Tennessee at five, Alabama at six. So good on Kirby. Kirby at least owned that up. But Nick Saban, come on, man. Quit being so vain. Like, that just makes no, like, I don't get it. I have a short fuse for stupid people, and I don't think Nick Saban is stupid, but that is flat out stupid right there. Maybe it was your SID, maybe it was whoever does your vote, but that's just stupid. You're smarter than that. Like, what's going on there? And in both polls, I don't know how anybody can sit down and watch the national championship game and still vote TCU is the second best team in the country just because they made a national championship. I mean, you're doing yourself and college football a disservice. Because anybody that watched that national championship game, what was the final score, guys? 65-7? Like, whatever it was. Like, are you kidding me? Sure, you made the national championship. TCU had a great season. Well-deserved. Sony Dykes incredible in year one. But you got your ass kicked in the national championship. 65-7. Not 28-7. Not 35-7. 65-7. They opened up a can on you. So why on earth is any coach or any media member voting in the AP poll? Why are you voting TCU at number two? Just because you made the national championship game, I don't think that's deserving of being the number two team in the land. So again, that is what I think about the final polls. It doesn't matter. I mean, it really, the only thing that it matters is coaches' incentives built in contracts. That's it. That's all it matters. It doesn't matter whatsoever. Tennessee didn't play for an Atlanta championship, an SEC championship. Tennessee did not play in the college football playoffs. Neither did Penn State, or neither did Washington. Neither did Alabama. None of that matters. It's a talking point, and it's something that's just really frustrating because it's like, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. It can be that simple. You don't have to make it so hard. Simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss, right? That's from The Office and from other stuff. Dwight Schrute? Oh, man. Anyway, that's all I got, guys. You probably, there'll be fans from other fan bases that'll jump in the comment section on YouTube. That's how it is. It's okay. But, I mean, come on. Like, what are we doing here, guys? Let's keep it simple. Big thanks to Josh Ward for stopping by the show. Big thank you for sending in all your mailbag questions this week. We'll come back tomorrow, tie a bow on this week, and hit the weekend. Can't wait for that, guys. Appreciate you as always. Same time, same place. Please come back. I'm not always that mean. I'm not always that harsh. If you're a first-time viewer of the show, I'm not that bad, I promise. Or at least my mom says I'm not that bad. Come back. We'll do it again. Appreciate you guys. I'm Eric Kane. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Locked On Vols.